Thanks, Pastor Josh. Everybody good this morning? I want to share a message this morning that, just like everything else that I share, starts out in life group. I want to encourage you that if you're not a member yet of a life group, to go and find one this year, sooner than later. If you have the ability to even host a life group in your home, you should really consider doing that. You can approach myself or Pastor Josh or Pastor Don about doing that, or Pastor Gil. Many of us hold life groups in our own houses, and we're expanding, and that's the place that really the church grows. They're able to receive one-on-one ministry. It's not always possible with a large group like this, especially at the second service, to connect with everybody and to have a deeper relationship with everyone that comes through. But where it does happen is at the life group. And so I'm going to share a message that starts there. It's expanded, of course. Praise God. I don't usually have a title for messages, but this one I feel like I do. And that is that God is consistent, yet he's unpredictable. It's a paradox. Two things that are true, but at the same time, they're seemingly opposite to our natural mind. And one of the reasons that I think many of us like to come to church, like to have our faith in Jesus, is because we know that he is constant, that he is consistent, that we can count on him, that he's not going to change in many ways. He's a firm foundation to put our trust in, to put our faith in. His word doesn't change. Let's just go through a couple truths that we know. We know that God created the heavens and the earth. We know that he created man, that he created animals. We know that sin came into the world. We know that Jesus is the Son of God that was born through Mary. We know that he died for our sins on a cross. We know that he was buried, that he rose again after 3 days, that he took the keys of the grave with him, and that through him, through our faith in him and through our confession, that we all can have eternal life with him, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life when we do accept him, and that doesn't change. That is in there. You can walk away, but he's not going to take your name out. You can take your own name out of that book, but he's not going to do that. We know that wherever two or three are gathered, that his presence is with us. He's with us this morning. We got plenty more than two or three, praise God. We know that people have different gifts. There's pastors, there's teachers, there's prophets, evangelists, apostles. People are called to different things, but we're all called to do something. We know that prayer works, that when we call on his name, that he hears us, that he does something about it. We're not praying to a God who's dead. We're praying to one who's alive. We could go on all morning just going through. The entire word is just made up of promises, of truths, of things that just don't change, that aren't going to be shaken by anything that happens here on the earth. It's been a wild week if you've looked at any of the news. I think things are going to continue to be crazy and loud and shaken, being shaken up. But thank God that he doesn't change, that he stays the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we put our trust in him. But at the same time, as we've been talking a lot about the Spirit, about being fervent in prayer, about not giving up, about always just pressing in, we've been talking about fasting, many different things. And so at the same time, I want to make the point that God is also unpredictable. He doesn't work things out the same way every time. He's always changing how he's going to work. What we often don't know is the who, the what, the why, the where, the when of how he's going to act and how he's going to fulfill the promises and the things that he's told us he's going to fulfill in our lives. And so I even would say that he's random, that he's mysterious. He does things that are unexplainable that we just can't account for. And we won't probably know a lot of things till we go and see him and ask, hey, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? I didn't get when this happened in my life when I was this age, whatever. We will have those opportunities to ask him. There's just things that we have to be satisfied with on this earth that we're just not going to be able to explain on this earth. We're not going to be able to know why this happened, why this didn't happen for us. And so I wanted to just look at some scriptures this morning of how it looks when God is tried, when people try and put God in a box and make him into a formula, a recipe, a procedure, a process, and how that can go wrong. So I want to go to Numbers 21. We're going to go Old Testament a little bit here this morning. It's a great example of what happens when people just get carried away with something. We'll say that. This is from Numbers 21, verse 4. You can turn there if you like. If not, you can just listen and follow with me. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around to Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. I think we can attest with a lot of people that we know in this day of being impatient. People don't change. Verse 5, they spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food. They're referring to the manna they were given every morning. Sounded pretty good to me, but maybe like anything else, it gets old after a while if you have it every day. Verse 6, then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then anyone that was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. Thank God that God is no longer in the business of sending out venomous snakes to where people are complaining, because if that were the case for the present day, I think this we'd be full of them in the whole world and the whole country. But I love this set of scriptures because, well, it has a lot of different ways you can take it. One for one is that the bronze snake, it's prophetic. That's representing Jesus on the cross. We've all been born of Adam, so we've all been bitten by the sin of the snake. And so when we look to Jesus on the cross, like those people looked at the pole and the snake on it, they were healed and they lived. That's our salvation. When we look to him on the cross and understand what he did for us, we're saved. Our life is saved. Well, let's fast forward and see what happens. I don't know how many years have passed. I'm not great at that kind of studying the word like that. I'm not sure how many years have passed, but I would assume that many, many years have passed, probably generations, because we're going to go to 2 Kings 18, which says this, verse 1 of chapter 18 in 2 Kings. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Neshetan. I want to just highlight verse 4 again. It says this, he removed the high places and broke sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. They were burning incense to it, and they called it Neshetan. So look what they were doing. Years had passed, generations had probably passed, and now this bronze snake that was once healing people had become an idol. They were just looking at it and hoping that they were going to be healed. It's not the looking at the snake that healed them. It was the faith in the guy who put it there. It's a faith in God who made it and who told them what to do. Having faith in a snake is nothing. It's the guy who put it there that our faith is in that caused people to be healed. And so this happens with a lot of stuff. Time passes and we turn things into a ritual, a recipe, a procedure, a process, and God is taken out of it. Now, I don't know if this is the way it happened, but I think I would compare this to like a game of anybody when they were young play like the game Telephone. One person says something that's, okay, this is the original thing that I'm saying, and then you whisper it to the next person, you whisper it to the next person. By the time it gets back around after like 10 people, your original statement has totally been changed around because it's watered down or it's changed after a while by the time it gets back to you, and that's a fun game. But so maybe what happened initially, yeah, these people are trusting in God. They believe that they have a faith in the God who put the snake there, but then generations pass and things get watered down. Maybe the great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. I don't know how long it took, but maybe they just go and say, hey, I got bit by a snake. What do I do? Oh, just go take a look at the bronze snake there without putting into any context why it's there, how it originally happened, what's the point of the whole thing, why did this all occur, why did God put that there? God is probably totally taken out of the whole thing, much like we do these days with Christmas, with Easter. For some folks, they don't have any concept of the true meaning behind those days. It's just become a Santa Claus that just give gifts. Or we put up this Christmas tree, and there's the Easter bunny, and we put out some candy and stuff. I think that's a lot of what's happening, and people who don't have a faith in Jesus, don't have a faith in God, who are not in the church and have no idea, I'm pretty certain that's what's going on in, you know, outside world, just in the flesh. People are just have totally lost the whole context of why we're celebrating what we're celebrating, why we're doing what we're doing. So like anything else, things get watered down as time passes if you don't keep up the original intent, the original context of why it was happening. And so people began to fall in love, I believe, with a process with a procedure, with a recipe, with a formula, instead of falling in love with the God who put it there, with the God who enacted it. And Jesus, well, hold on to that. It became so bad that this idol, they had to destroy it. We have to be careful that we don't fall into the same traps. What I believe is that many of us, we've seen people healed. How many have seen someone healed or been healed yourself? You had, yeah, praise God, plenty of hands. We've seen people delivered. We've seen lives change, relationships change. God has moved on our lives in many ways. Thank God he has, and he still does. But I think sometimes when we're trying to ask him to intervene, when something new comes into our life, we kind of refer back to what has already happened before. If it's not coming in an instant, if it's not coming like Pastor Josh has been preaching about, it's not coming in the timing that we want, I think some of us tend to think about, man, remember the one time that God touched me, that God intervened for me, and where was I? Who's the pastor that prayed for me? Was I listening to this worship song in the car? Was I praying in this room? Did I read this certain scripture? Did I do this? And we try and like create this recipe for a situation that happened before, but we're trying to have it happen again. And God just doesn't work like that. He's not bound by working the same way. And if we look to Jesus, when he walked this earth, he was always changing the way that he did stuff. He was always messing with people. He was always changing the way that he healed people. Think about what he healed a blind man. He healed a few blind men, but the one blind man he healed by spinning on the ground, making mud with his hands and putting him on his eyes. Paul, he heals a different way when he makes him blind. What else happens? The woman with the issue of blood reaches out, touches his garment. She's healed. Other times he just speaks a word of faith and says, listen, go home, your servant, the centurion servant, your servant's healed. He's not even in the same area as him. He just says, speaks a word and it happens. What else? Sometimes he goes and prays for the dead. The woman with the withered hand, he's messing with the Pharisees on the Sabbath. He heals that person. He's always changing it up because he wants people to fall in love with him, not the way that he's doing something. Because we're people of habit. We're creatures of habit. We like things planned out. We like things done a certain way. And a lot of times we don't like the unpredictable. We don't like to guess what's going to happen next. But God is not a God who's safe. He's mysterious. He works in ways we don't always understand. And we can't put him into a box. I want to encourage you just to, our God is, he's a God of order. He's not a God of confusion, but he doesn't always work the way that we hope that he will, the way that we want him to do stuff. He acts on his own. He's God, for goodness sakes, right? And so sometimes to just be able to be willing and to just be open to the Holy Spirit working our lives, maybe we just have to start out small with changing some of our daily activities. I just thought of, last night, I think, how many people like to try new restaurants? Maybe, wow, not too many. That's the first part. Okay, there's more now. But even if you go to the same restaurant all the time, I know many of us do, because you want to stick to what's good. You want to stick to what you know. It's, you're spending some money. You don't want to risk it on a new place. You probably order the same thing. I know we've had chats with Dr. Leon. He does the same thing, too. He orders the same thing. Even if we go over to he loves that Chinese restaurant, Sea Gourmet. He says it's the best in America, I think he's at, or something like that. He likes to go there. He orders the same thing when he's up here. But sometimes we just get ourselves into a rut. I know people do this. If you're going to go to a new place, you're looking at all the reviews on your phone or on your iPad before you go. You're looking at what other people said about it. You're looking at what's on the menu, because you can see all that before you go. But stop doing that sometimes. Just go form your own opinion, take a chance, blow some money on a bad meal somewhere, and just have an experience, live life. Just to shake things up. Sometimes we gotta change stuff around. Take a different way to work. Drive a different way to work. Don't take it. I'm guilty of this myself, because there's a direct route. There's a way that's fastest, that's cheapest. But sometimes we got to switch it up. Go a different road. if you like to cook, you can go off a recipe sometime. Praise God. My wife does that all the time. She just looks at what's in the fridge and whips something up. I've got this. I've got this. I've got that. Most of the time, it's great. Sure, there's a time that maybe it's not the best, but praise God, usually it works out wonderful. And but someone had to come up with the recipe that you're making. Someone had to pioneer that. Someone had to do that first, so be the first one to do that. You ever just, I know we probably all used to do this when we were younger and when gas wasn't as expensive, but it's not that bad right now. Take a drive somewhere. Get lost. See if you can just turn off your GPS, turn off your phone, and just take a drive to some place you've never been before, and just have your ear open to what God would have you, what God would say to you, what he would have you listen to. Sometimes God speaks when we just silence everything else and just listen to him. Sometimes we just need to do the opposite of what we've always been doing and just allow God to have his Holy Spirit work in us and work through us. I want to share a video. No, if you have that ready. It's a clip from one of my favorite shows that I've finally been able to work into something that works with a message. This is like a 3-minute clip from Seinfeld, which I think, in my opinion, which is one of the greatest shows that's out there. It's clean. It's good. So, no, when you're ready, you can go ahead with that.
Speaking of having it all,
where were you?
I went to the beach.
Oh, the beach.
It's not working, Jerry. It's just not working.
What is it that isn't working?
Why did it all turn out like this for me? I had so much promise. I was personable. I was bright. Oh, maybe not academically speaking, but I was perceptive. I always know when someone's uncomfortable at a party.
Can I come over
here? It all became very clear to me sitting out there today that every decision I've ever made in my entire life has been wrong. My life is the complete opposite of everything I want it to be. Every instinct I have in every aspect of life, be it something to wear, something to eat, it's all been wrong.
Tuna toast, coleslaw, cup of coffee.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. I always have tuna on toast. Nothing's ever worked out for me with tuna on toast. I want the complete opposite of tuna on toast. Chicken salad on rye. Untoasted with a side of potato salad and a cup of tea.
Well, there's no telling what can happen from this.
You know, chicken salad's not the opposite of tuna. Salmon's the opposite of tuna, because salmon swim against the current, and the tuna swim with it.
Good for the tuna.
George, you know, that woman just looked at you.
So what? What am I supposed to do?
Go talk to her.
Elaine, bald men with no jobs and no money who live with their parents don't approach strange women.
Well, here's your chance to try the opposite. Instead of tuna salad and being intimidated by women, chicken salad and going right up to them.
Yeah, I should do the opposite. I should.
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
Yes.
Yes.
I will do the opposite. I used to sit here and do nothing and regret it for the rest of the day. So now I will do the opposite and I will do something. Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice that you were looking in my direction.
Oh, yes, I was. You just ordered the same exact lunch as me.
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
I'm Victoria. Hi.
Sometimes it's the opposite. If things aren't working out, isn't that the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? And so if you're not hearing from God, I think he just wants us to change things up, take some chances on things, take some risks, because you know that God took a big risk on us with Jesus, sacrificing his own son for us. He didn't know how many people, if anybody, would end up believing in him. But here we are, 2,000 plus years later, and we believe. Thank you, Jesus. So there are also times when we can be totally open to the Holy Spirit. We do change things up, we do take chances, but sometimes at the same time, what we're praying for, what we're asking God for, we're not hearing from him. He's not answering us. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with us, with God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12. This is Paul, who was definitely in fellowship with God, definitely close, had a close relationship with God. In 2 Corinthians 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness.'" And so there's Paul. He's got this buffet. There's something that's bothering him. A person from Satan who's just putting it aside. And God's response isn't to take that away from him. He keeps him there and says, "Ah, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need." And there's no real, we know that the explanation to that is that because when we're weak, then God is strong. Amen. He's strong for us. And that's how we can just have faith in the strength that's his and not our own. But at the same time, maybe that answer is not always given to us. Maybe things are just, it's not always that clear to us, maybe. We still got to be able to trust in him and to believe that things are going to be worked out for his glory, that he's got a plan for us. Why? Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He's God. He's got plans that are not ours. He's got plans for our lives that are better than ours, because he sees things from a different perspective than we do. Isaiah 55:8 says that. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." So what are ways? Those are the processes, the procedures, the formulas, the ways that God works things out. His thinking is far above ours. He thinks in a different way. He's on a different level than we are. Maybe things, as we've been talking about through the past 2 weeks, are not working out in the timing that we want to, that we want things to work out. Why? His timing is not our timing. He's not on the calendar that we are. He's not on the January to December calendar that we have. He's not even really on a calendar. He's on his own time. He's outside of time. He's in eternity. In 2 Peter 3:8 is an awesome reference for that. But beloved, don't forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. He's not bound by the same thing we are. I know someone once referred to that we're bound by the stoplight and the calendar and the clock. Those are things that we're bound by. He's not bound by those things like we are. And so we, as natural people, we often relate to things in natural time because that's what we have. But we have to remind ourselves that he's acting on a totally different level of time. He's outside of it. But at the same time, he is with us. It's a hard thing to sometimes wrap our flesh around. But he does want a relationship with us. He does want us to switch things up, to take chances, just to be open to hearing from him. You know, the Bible, our relationship with him, the Bible often refers to it as a marriage kind of relationship. We're his bride. The church is his bride. And so how dull and how boring is a marriage if you just do things out of a playbook because that worked for you before? It's going to be a kind of a boring, dull relationship if you just do things because that's what's worked before. I don't think a spouse is going to be too happy with you getting them the same. If maybe their love language is receiving gifts, so you get them the same gift, the predictable gift for their birthday, for Valentine's Day. You do the same stuff. Maybe that works for some people. I don't know. But I think people also like change. They like to be surprised. They like to be spontaneous. You know, take your wife, take your spouse on a trip somewhere. Surprise them. Do something different. Shake things up. Maybe you go to the same restaurant all the time. Everyone has, you know, an anniversary, birthdays. Maybe you go to the same restaurant and you order that same dish again at the same time. But switch things up. I don't know what it takes. But I do know that sometimes we just need to slow life down for a minute. Maybe it's when you wake up. Maybe it's when you get in your car. Before you start the thing up, you just take 5 minutes and just say, "Lord, this is a new day. I don't know what you would have me do today. I don't know which way that you'd even have me take to work. I don't know who you'd have me talk to today. I don't know where you'd have me get lunch from today. I don't know. I want to be open to hearing from your Holy Spirit. I want to be open to what you'd have to say to me, because yesterday didn't work out. The week before didn't work out. Maybe things are not going well. Or maybe you just want to hear from him better. You just want to quiet other stuff out and just hear from him. Don't put the radio on. Don't put anything on the way it would work. And just let his voice just speak to you. Let him just speak to your spirit. Let him just captivate your thoughts. And just take that time out, because any other kind of life, and we're just going so fast, it just becomes watered down, just becomes, we can so easily do the same routine day in, day out, and not blink, not think about it. Come on, everyone pretty much even has the same order to like what they do in the morning, how you get ready, you take a shower, then you shave, you do this, you do that. I don't know, maybe take a shower at night once in a while, see what happens. Just sometimes the life routine just has to be broken just to be able to have your spirit open to doing different things, because otherwise there's going to be no room for God to work in. You've got everything planned out to such a T. Some people are crazy with the planners. I know planning is a good thing. We've got, praise God, week to week, we've got the whole services planned out. But at the same time, that kind of planning also allows for what happened last week when we're able to just second service. Okay, we had 3 people signed up to be baptized. Turns out there's actually like 19 people that want to be baptized. We threw out the plan. There was a plan, praise God, but we can also have the be open to throwing it out when the Holy Spirit intervenes. When God intervenes and says, oh, look, there's actually 16 more people that need to be baptized today. What are we going to say? Sorry, we only had 3. You have to wait till next time. Come on, there's a moment when things have to be done, when things have to be taken advantage of, that you have to stop and let God come, let God intervene, let the Holy Spirit do his work. And if we try and intervene with that, then things are just going to be choked out or just going to be stopped, and there's not going to be any growth. Growth will stop if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work and to move the way that he wants to. If we just take up our plans and don't surrender to his, things just become watered down, things just become dull, things become predictable. Maybe some week we'll do the message first and do the worship at the end. I don't know. We did that life group a couple times. It's cool. Why do we have to have the worship at the beginning? Because that's just always what we've done. And it's good to have the Spirit build like that and have everyone praise and worship and be on the same page. It kind of just takes off the dust that you came in with. That's a good thing to do. But maybe sometime we should switch it up and not do it that way. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just coming up with some of these things on the fly. But I know God just doesn't want our lives to be watered down and just to be... Life with God is supposed to be exciting. It's supposed to be the most exciting life that we're ever going to have. And it doesn't have to. You don't have to be on the missionary field to have that kind of life. We hear testimonies from guys and gals that come off the missionary field, and they have these awesome testimonies of how God worked out these healings, how God worked out salvation. That can happen here too. You don't have to go away. Sometimes going away does help. But to be able to open, to be hearing a word, to leave the country, you've got to be open to the Holy Spirit talking to you to tell you to do that, because without that, you're probably just not going to do it. You need to be able to hear from him to do that. So I just want to encourage you, as we're still in, you know, we're still in January, take some chances, take some risks, try something different. Maybe God's been speaking to you to do something. You've kind of put it off for years, for months, for weeks. I don't know how long, but maybe there's something that's clear that you're supposed to be doing that you haven't been doing, and maybe this is the time to do it. There's probably not anyone else that's going to be able to do it if God has asked you specifically. There's certain things only you are going to be able to do, that only I am going to be able to do. It's only certain people that we're going to be able to minister as individuals to, that we can lead them to salvation. God has a plan for our lives, praise God. We're not out there wandering, just blind, just without direction. God is a God of order, but he also wants our hearts to be open enough to be able to receive and to hear from him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we just stand this morning?
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, this Sunday in January, Lord, and there's an excitement to it, Father, because this day hasn't happened before. Lord, we don't know what will happen the rest of this day. We don't know how the next service will go, Lord, as it happened last week, Father, but we just want to be open, Lord, to your Spirit, Father. We want to be open to, Lord, just whatever way that you would move, whatever way that you would touch hearts, the way that you would move among hearts, Father. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are good, that your word is unchanging, Father. It's the foundation that we're basing our entire lives on, Father. That you are our Creator, Lord, that you are our Savior, Lord, that you are literally our everything, Lord Jesus. We're putting our full trust in you, Father. There is no plan B, Father. You are plan A, Father, and that is all we have, Lord Jesus. And Father, we rest in the fact that you don't change, that you are our foundation, Lord. You are our cornerstone of our lives, Father. We know that, Lord, for those this morning who are here who have confessed, Lord, and who have believed in their hearts, Father, that our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life, Father, and they're not going to be removed, they're not going to be changed, Lord Jesus. But Father, also just help us to understand, Lord. Help us to understand, Lord, that you don't always work out, Lord, your miracles, Father, your healings, Lord. The way that you change relationships, Father, the way that you minister, Father, the way that you touch us, Father, is not always the same way that you've always done it, Lord Jesus. But you work in ways that cannot be explained, that are not, Lord, that just confound the wise, Lord Jesus. So, Father, let's just have Lord, just an extra degree of openness, Lord, to your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us, Lord, if it means quieting out other things in our life, Father, quieting out people even, Father, if we need to separate ourselves, Lord, from some family, some friends who are just being loud in our ears, Father, and just not allowing us, Lord, to hear from you and from your Holy Spirit, Lord. Maybe that's what it is, Lord Jesus. Maybe it's just changing up a routine, Father. I don't know, Lord, but you know, Lord, what it is for each and every person, Lord, that just will take things to the next level, Lord, of relationship, of just being close to you, Father, being intimate with you, Lord Jesus. Lord, it's our desire, Lord, it's our heart's desire is to be close to you, Father. It's just to be able to, Lord, just know that your Spirit, Lord, and your presence is tangibly, Lord, within us, is living, Lord, in our hearts. We know that you've taken out our heart of stone, Father, and replaced it with a heart of flesh, Lord. But let that just be real, Lord, to people, Lord, to hearts this morning, Lord Jesus. We want, Lord, to be able to feel you, to know you, Lord, to know your ways, Father, to know, Lord, what you would say in a situation, Lord, to know how you would touch someone, Lord, in a situation. Lord, give us the words to speak, Lord, to those that need to hear your voice, Lord Jesus. Give us, Lord, just give us direction, Father. Give us wisdom, Lord, this morning, Father. Just downloads, Father. Revelation, Lord, even this morning, Lord Jesus. And Father, if there's something, Lord, that we should be doing that we're not, that you've called to, Lord, just remind us this morning of what that is, of what it is that we're supposed to do, Father, Lord. If doors that you've opened for us, Father, that we haven't walked through that, Lord. Lord, just show us those things once again, Father God. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we just go about the rest of our week, Lord, that you are with us, that you love us, Father, that you're good, Father God. We know that only you are good, Lord Jesus. There's no one good but you, Father God. Lord, we thank you that you love us, Lord. You loved us, Lord, before anyone else did, Lord Jesus. You created us. You had us in mind, Lord. You know the very number of hairs upon our head, Lord. There's nothing that you don't know about us. There's no way that we can surprise you, Father, but you often surprise us. So, Father, let us be open to your surprises, Father. Let us have an expectation, Lord, that you're going to do something, Lord, in our lives. You're going to do something, Lord, in a way that's real, in a way that, Father, work through us, Lord Jesus. Work out, Lord, your word, Lord, through us, Lord. Let us be your hands and your feet, Lord, this week. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.